Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening?
Science isn't about facts. It's about what we want you to believe.
Somebody kill me!
Welcome to Simple Facts of Life Radio, where, in the immortal words of a whole bunch of Democratic members of Congress recently, I'm reclaiming my time, because any time, all the time, is the right time for personal liberty, personal responsibility, and personal accountability. I am, as always, your host, Chief, coming to you from my hidden bunker in the undisclosed location somewhere in the vicinity of Portland, Oregon. Now, of course, I'm hiding in my bunker in an attempt to remain safe from the hideous plague that has convinced way too many people around here that they can't go outside without a mask. Now, I am, of course, not talking about coronavirus or anything minor like that. I'm talking about the plague of violent leftism being spread by a bunch of masked sickos. But I am safe in here, at least for the time being. Now, I found out, a few weeks ago that the state of Oregon now has mandatory masking for people who are out in public, going in stores and such. I found that out when I went into a store without a mask. So I actually, about a week ago, once again, had to make one of my brief sojourns away from the bunker, and I had to wear a mask. Okay. I can deal with wearing a mask for a few minutes. I still don't see the people walking up and down my street don't wear masks. But okay. Now, I wanted to mention, I started out with a little quip about reclaiming my time because, well, about a week ago, we had Attorney General Barr was forced to testify in front of a House committee, a Judiciary Committee or some Jerry Nadler's committee. And it seemed like, you know, as these committee hearings always go, you know, they're supposed to be asking questions, but they like to make statements and posture and that sort of thing. And in this case, it was like they wouldn't even let it. When they finally got to a question, as soon as he started to answer, they would say, "Well, I'm reclaiming my time. I want to make a statement," blah, blah. They wouldn't even let him talk. You know, from the conservative media, made it certainly look like the Democrats made total fools of themselves. Now, you know, maybe the more mainstream media had a different take, but I'm not sure because I didn't see that. You see, I first found out about this hearing you know, like the day before it happened, when I was looking at Facebook and I saw a post from my favorite canary in the leftist coal mine, guy I refer to as Blue Checkmark Guy, and he was all, yeah, okay, they got Barr coming on, and they're going to get him, blah, blah, and all this, like, yeah, they're finally going to expose Trump and all this. And he, after the hearing, he had no comment. He totally silent on the subject. So that kind of tells me that maybe he was not so impressed with the job they did on him. So there's that. Now, that wasn't really what I wanted to talk about today. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Another thing I didn't want to talk about, but I just saw in the last hour or so, and I guess it merits a little discussion, and I'm talking about what happened in Beirut, Lebanon. There was an explosion, and the videos show something that's, whoa, pretty massive. Some people had speculated or wondered, was this a, somebody set off a small nuke or something? I don't think that's the case, but you know, they were saying it was a fireworks. Boy, I don't know. We've all seen videos of fireworks storehouses going up, and we know what it looks like, a whole bunch of fireworks. Now, this was one massive explosion. You could see the shock wave. It even formed a mushroom cloud. For it to be fireworks, they would have all had to have gone off at once within like a small fraction of a second. This was one massive explosion. I guess they're going to investigate. There was a lot of videos of it from a lot of angles because apparently there was a large fire going on right before the explosion. So a lot of people had their cameras pointed at it at the time. So, but yeah, it was something. I'm sure there was a lot of damage. I read somewhere that the shock wave was felt, I mean, hundreds of miles away. So I don't know. Probably not that big of a shock wave. It kind of reminded me of something that happened, 20-some years ago when I was living in Albany, which is about 50 miles south of here, Albany, Oregon. And I lived about a little less than a mile away from a titanium foundry. And there was some kind of large explosion there. And I like heard this, and then there was a little shock wave. I could see my curtain, you know, it was summertime, the windows were open, and my curtains actually moved a little bit from the shock wave. So, yeah, but okay. Well, I rambled on for 10 minutes, and I haven't even talked about what I wanted to talk about in the notes. Joe Biden and the Democrats. Wow. The Democrats seem to really have a problem here because, you know, even though, you know, the polls are all showing that Trump is way behind in, you know, his chances for reelection, I don't know about it. Things are not going that well for the Democrats because they have put themselves in a box. Now, the box was Oh, a couple different aspects of it. Number one, they had to nominate Joe Biden. I don't know if they wanted him, but they were the choice was, I think I mentioned this last week, they were stuck between Bernie Sanders, who they regarded as, number one, kind of unelectable, and he also had, you know, he was kind of in the same situation as the Republicans were in 4 years ago when they were kind of boxed into Trump because he won, and then nobody thought he had a chance. He kind of surprised some people, of course, but they did not want Trump because, number one, they thought he was unelectable, and maybe the real reason was they couldn't control him. He wasn't one of them. Well, the Democrats have that same problem with Bernie Sanders. He's not one of them. He doesn't kiss all the right butts. So, even though it seems that he's gotten most of the Democrats to kiss his butt lately, they're still boxed in with Biden. Well, I've been saying for a while, others have been saying, they can't be serious about nominating this guy. He's losing it. He doesn't, I mean, we've seen old people. People talk to me, you know, and I sometimes catch myself sounding like Biden because I'm old and I say things that make no sense. You know, you hear it here all the time. But can they really be serious about nominating him? Dan Bongino, a former Secret Service agent, kind of been moving up the ranks of the radio talk show hosts, he seems to know some people, and his sources are telling him that there are people in the Biden camp, the Democratic Party, are just in a tizzy. They don't know what to do because they can't. They're just scared to death that Biden is going to get up there and do something stupid and blow it because they're seeing his mental capacity just diminish day by day. He's losing it. The guy's, what, 77 years old, something like that? I remember, you know, my late father, he was sounding like Joe Biden. You know, the older he got in the 70s, 80s, it was just, he was just losing it. So one wonders. So the Democrats have found themselves in a box. Now, another aspect of this is the box that Joe Biden put himself in regarding his vice presidential choice. Now, he was supposed to have announced it, he said by, you know, the 1st of August, he would announce his pick. Still hasn't. I guess we're about a week away from the Democrat convention, however they're going to do it. Still no announcement. Now, I'm old enough to remember when, that was the big thing at the convention, they'd make the announcement, but over the last few decades, now the announcement has always come well before, so we all knew what was going on before the convention, and it was all just a formality. But here's the box Joe put himself in. He committed early on that he was going to choose a woman to be his running mate. Now, I have no problem with a woman as vice president or a woman as president. It's all well and good if she happens to be the most qualified person. However, let's look at some simple facts of life here. if you're going to be the president or the vice president, you got to consider that you're probably, you know, you have to have some experience. You have to have been in the game for a long time. The simple fact of life is just biology. Women have kids. They kind of need to take at least a little time off from whatever they're doing, you know, to give birth and recover. Most of the time, most women, even professional women, accomplished women, have to take an extended period of time off. You know, they want to spend time to bond with their child and all that. It's simple biology, simple fact of life. But what happens is it puts them a step behind. Doesn't mean they can't catch up. Many women have. However, you have to consider that the majority of the people who we would consider to be qualified by training and experience to do a job like president, which the vice president has to really be qualified, especially when your president is old and senile, has to be qualified. Most of these people are going to be men. Maybe not a huge majority, and there are plenty of women qualified, but you have, by nature of eliminating all men from consideration, cut out the majority of the qualified candidates. And Biden, of course, he hadn't committed to it, but he intimated that he really wanted a woman of color. Sorry, here's another simple fact of life. Be it systemic racism, whatever, the culture, up until pretty recently, people of color, especially women of color, were further behind. Not that they can't catch up. I mean, you look at people like Condoleezza Rice. I mean, I would vote for her for president, woman of color. I mean, she seems to be a little bit of a more of a war hawk than I would prefer, but still in all. Or Nikki Haley of South Asian descent. I'd love to see. I'd love to vote for her. I have no problem at all. But when you commit to a relatively, you know, to eliminating the vast majority of people who might help you on the ticket, you're putting yourself in a box. Now, I want to contrast this with the, you know, a few things from history. Okay, committing to picking a woman, that's kind of virtue signaling, shall we say. And it's happened before. I mean, I'm going back to Ronald Reagan. You remember he was the first president to appoint a woman to the Supreme Court. Fine, no problem. Appointed Sandra Day O'Connor, maybe not quite as conservative as I would have preferred, but still, you know, a constant fine jurist, believed in the Constitution, no problem with her. Why did he commit to this before? He should have said, if I get the chance to pick a Supreme Court justice, I'm going to pick the most qualified, and maybe a man, maybe a woman, and then pick a woman, and it's still all good. You shouldn't commit to something as inconsequential as somebody's genitalia as a qualification for who you're going to consider. Now, going back not quite so far in history, there have been two vice presidential candidates who happen to be women. I'm talking about Geraldine Ferraro in 1984 with Walter Mondale and Sarah Palin in 2008 with John McCain. Now, I considered both of those picks to be basically stunts. They wanted to get attention to their, you know, not too promising-looking campaigns. And, you know, it worked as far as that went. It certainly got them attention. Of course, Mondale went on to lose 49 states, and, well, McCain didn't do quite that badly. He didn't win. But nonetheless, they didn't virtue signal, I'm going to pick a woman. They just said, this is the person I think is most qualified and will help me the most, and yada, yada. And that's what they did. So whether, you know, it was doing it to make a point or not, I don't know. But going back to one other instance that I remember from history, I mean, not that ancient history, I'm talking 1993 here, Bill Clinton, when he was elected president, it was pretty obvious that he must have wanted a woman in the job of attorney general. He never said that, but he announced his pick, a woman named Zoe Baird, who, you know, seemed to have the adequate qualifications for the job, until it found out she was heading like an illegal alien as a nanny or something like that. And so that nomination was withdrawn. And so he needed somebody else who didn't have a Zoe Baird problem. And he picked a woman named Kimba Smith. I think that was her name. Because she said she didn't have a Zoe Baird problem, except it turned out she had an exactly Zoe Baird problem, another nanny issue. So that nomination was withdrawn. So then he settled on Janet Reno. Now, okay, I sort of got into an argument with some family people about that because I found it kind of, sure, maybe all three of those women were qualified for the job. But when you consider, and once again, we're talking almost 30 years ago here, what are the chances that mathematically that the three most qualified people to do that job would all be women? I mean, lawyers with that much experience and people who could, you know, have the what it takes to be the attorney general, you have to consider that at least three quarters of the people who could do that job would be men. Now, that doesn't mean that the best person would necessarily be a man, but mathematically, probably. But okay, he found maybe the best person is a woman, no problem. But she falls out. So now we've gone from a 1 in 4 chance that the two of the people, that comes out to like, what's a 1 in 16? And that the third, that's like 1 chance out of 64, something like that. No, it seemed pretty obvious that Bill Clinton wanted a woman in that job. However, he never said that. He never said, I'm going to look for the most qualified woman to be attorney general. He said, you know, I'm looking for the most qualified person. And here it is. Happens to be a woman. Not a big deal. Okay. So, that's just my take on the box that Joe Biden has put himself in. Oh, man, I've been rambling on. Lots of things I wanted to get to, but okay. The other box. Back to the original box. The box the Democrats are in. what are they going to do about Joe Biden? Because somewhere along the line, the voters expect to see a presidential debate. I mean, even if it's like a virtual debate for social distancing, although I don't think it's that hard to find a stage where they could stand 6 feet apart. And if any moderators can have a really long table where there's, you know, it only takes like a 13-foot long table to make sure that there's like 6 feet between, maybe 14, forgot the shoulder width, whatever, make 6 feet between three moderators. Not a problem. They can do it live. Makes for better TV. Maybe there wouldn't be an audience, but they're always told to be quiet anyway. But they are already making excuses. Joe Lockhart, former Clinton press secretary, came out with something and said, well, we just can't have a debate because, well, Biden would have to spend all his time correcting Trump's lies and misstatements, and he just doesn't have time for that. Seriously, Joe? The best thing you want in a debate is to be able to make your opponent look dumb, point out his mistakes. That is, I mean, they just floated that as, see if, you know, run that up the flagpole and see if anybody saluted it. Some other people have suggested, well, we can't have a debate unless the last 10 minutes of the debate are fact checkers. You know, okay, the candidates have to stop, and now we all have to listen to people checking the facts of everything both candidates said. Of course, they won't check any of Biden's facts, which he doesn't seem to have a whole lot of anyway. But we're going to want to see a debate. The Democrats are trying to weasel out of it because they just can't be sure of which Joe is going to show up. You know, it happens with these people who get, you know, sometimes you're a little more, you know, you sound like I sound on some weeks, and then other times you sound like I sound right now, just rambling on and talking stupid. And so, yeah, Tim Taft, who fact checks the fact checkers? I just read an article a few minutes ago from Cheryl Atkinson, who pointed out, you know, the fact checkers are not, they're not the unbiased, neutral arbiters of truth that they claim to be. They're all paid by the corporate media run by, you know, Google and all these people, all leftists. And so that's what you get from fact checkers. And I am just about out of time here. So I want to thank Tim Tapp for joining me. Flycatch was in here briefly. I bored him with my ramblings, so he left. But Tap Into the Truth coming up in just about 30 minutes from now. And, well, with that, I'll just sign off, and, you know, hopefully I'll be back here next week with more Simple Facts of Life. Till next time.
Out on the sea, make a sailor so lonely.